Did you know that some of the highest paying careers are in the automotive, construction, electrical, IT, and manufacturing fields? But how do you get the training you need to qualify for these jobs? Easy. Enroll at Rankin Technical College, one of the best technical colleges in the Midwest. In 2 years or less, you can earn your college degree and graduate ready to work in the technical career you choose. Join us at an upcoming Shadow of Tech on February 12th or March 18th at any of our three locations. Visit Rankin.edu for more info.
Get your hat, leave your worries on the doorstep.
On the doorstep.
Just direct your feet.
Direct your feet to that bag of chemicals that you sprinkle down on your sidewalk, your driveway, because you're probably going to need them by tomorrow night.
Life can be so sweet.
Life can be so sweet when you don't slip and fall
off your feet.
Off your feet. Thank you. Because of the sleet. That's not so neat.
No.
Now we need a beat. Not afraid. I'm not afraid.
This rover.
Here we go. Song of the Cow. I need a butt shine right now. You are holy. Oh,
I will always love this.
I thirst for you.
Always.
Provide milk. Buff my testicles. Love the cow. Good fortune for those that do. Love me. Breathe my feet. The cow has risen. Wax my butt. Scrub my testicles. The cow has risen. Provide milk. Oh, milky wonder, sing for us once more. Live your life, everlasting joy. Thrust your hooves up my analytical passage. Enjoy my fruits. Provider of cheese and other wonderful dairy products.
That's right, boy.
We will cleanse your inner intestines. Oh. We will bathe in your pungent odor. Oh. Gather cotton. Count my eyes. Smell my skin. Love the scarecrow and the milkman. I live only for eternity. Thirst for the undrinkable. Hold the heat. Praise the doughboy at the pizza shop. Love the oxen dung.
All right, now, okay.
I remember reading it. Who wrote that?
That was.
Weren't those your wedding vows, Frank?
No.
But it wasn't Maya Angelou, it was some actual poet.
It was the presidential... No. It was the presidential candidate, Peter Buttigieg or whatever his name is, I think.
Buttigieg.
Is it Buttigieg? Yeah, that was
oh,
him.
Oh, my goodness,
he
that's
wrote
right.
He that in college, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, right there's reason to like that guy. Wow.
I will always
play
that.
Who won the caucus?
Man, oh, man.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was going in Iowa last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was a
caucus.
Isn't
that interesting? I remember reading it, but I could not remember. I had no idea. Yeah, okay, now I do. It comes back. Pete Buttigieg. Good afternoon, everybody. How are you? Welcome to the large morning show in the afternoon, a show that will live in infamy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's an FDR thing from, you know, Pearl Harbor.
Oh, you know what? And I forgot. My girlfriend, Sandy, wanted me to write Trevor a
Trevor is
limey. Yeah, limey. Like a sentence that included the word can't and caucus.
Oh, this could be dangerous.
Buttigieg.
this could be very, very dangerous.
Cannot
look,
well,
just
caucus.
The word alone. If you wrote a poem just having him say the C-A-N-T, that alone is dangerous.
But then caucus and Buttigieg.
He says it's butt and then edge. Yeah, who doesn't have a chance of winning?
Is he still in the running? I thought he dropped out.
But there are three or four of those people who I don't know why they don't drop now, because they don't have a chance. The people that have the chance are Biden, obviously, and Sanders, and maybe Warren. And speaking of Elizabeth Warren, how many sweaters? She must have more sweaters than Mr. Rogers. She's got the same sweaters in different colors. And she is like Hillary, who, get ready for the sweater jokes, because Hillary was the pantsuit queen.
Yeah.
This Elizabeth Warren, and I think it makes her look old. It's like a grandmotherly thing, those sweaters. It makes her look even old. Maybe that's what she's going for.
But hang on a second. Sorry, got an update from the listeners. That was Beto O'Rourke. Beto.
Oh, Beto O'Rourke.
Okay,
that's
right. O'Rourke. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's, I'm sorry, Beto O'Rourke, because he is wanted to seem Hispanic. Yeah, okay. Beto O'Rourke. That's
I
right.
like.
That's
your, I don't know who does who imitates Elizabeth Warren on Saturday Night Live, but
oh, she's
that
in Ghostbusters.
Is absolutely perfect. She does.
Is it Cecily Strong?
Oh, maybe it is.
No, Cecily. Cecily. It's Cecily.
Cecily.
Yeah, but yeah. Oh man, she has it right on.
And I might add, I love her. I loved Kristen Wiig. She's my new fantasy threesome partner. Is that
really?
Cecily Strong? Oh, I love her. Yeah. Oh, there's something about her. Not only is she funny, I just think she's hot. I do. I love her face and her. And I like her. And the funny thing, Kristen Wiig. You know, my daughter. I asked my daughter one time. I said, if your mom left me, or I left your mom. I'm like, this was like 4 years ago. I said, do you think that you could make yourself come to like and accept whoever became your stepmother? And my daughter, without even hesitating, said no, unless you marry Kristen Wiig. So she'd be okay with me marrying Kristen Wiig, but she couldn't think of anybody else. I want to welcome everybody. Welcome everybody. This is the fourth of the hardest day of the month to pronounce correctly. February, not February, but, and why, when they established the months, they didn't just go January, February. It would have been so easy, but no, somebody stuck an R in there. So this is the 4th of February, and of course, it's another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Right, I made a mistake. Okay.
Yeah.
I messed
up. Today's my half birthday.
Was that you're halfway through your 61st year?
Yeah.
Happy half birthday, sorry.
So yeah. You're 60 and a half?
No, 61 and a half.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know you turned 61.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Doesn't that sound old to
it's
you?
It's stupid. I mean, it sucks.
Yeah, don't you hate saying it?
Yeah.
It doesn't even seem right. Tim will see. Tim's not that far from 60. And the minute you have to say
you're in your 60s. I just turned 50. What do you mean I'm not that far from 60?
Well, you're only 10 years away.
No, because you're not that far, because it's going to go so fast, you won't believe it. You'll be 60 before you know it.
No, I won't. I bet I don't even hit 60.
Well, that is just the wrong outlook.
Why would you say that?
Well, because I'm heavy and I.
But you don't have to be heavy.
Live hard and
okay, just, but you don't have to live hard and you don't have to be heavy.
I know.
You don't.
Let's go out jogging. Come on, Tim. Let's jog now.
No.
Jogging? That doesn't do anything. Get him on a bike.
When I was in my early 30s, my wife and I bought jogging outfits and new tennis shoes, and we just said, you know, by golly, we're going to go jog. We're going to start jogging. For some friends of ours jog. This is fantastic. We jogged one time, and I think it was two blocks. And after two blocks, I said, this sucks. I'm not doing this ever again. And we did the same thing with 10-speed bikes. We went to Sears, and we got two matching 10-speeds because, again, we knew people who biked together. They said, it's healthy. It's good. So we bought matching bikes. We rode them together one time, and I sold them.
Now, so, riding a bike I like doing, but jogging is just annoying. I mean, at least when you're riding a bike, you get to sit down and kind of take a
When you ride a bike, you get to sit down on the equivalent of a railroad spike. Those seats on those bikes are not comfortable. That's the worst part of riding a bike to me, is that stinking seat.
Really?
Yeah, unless you get you can buy aftermarket gel-filled big cushion seats. That's what I did. I still only rode it one time. So thank you, everybody, for being with us. I'm sorry, Dan.
I was going to say. Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
What happened there?
Whoa.
Today is the first day I feel normal now. Yesterday, I was still kind of.
Well, you feel normal for you. You're not normal.
Yeah. No, I'm not normal. But yeah. I just sent Trevor a.
Why do you call him Trevor?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you, Dan.
I just sent Limey.
No, okay. Let me ask you, Ryan,
I have no idea.
Let's fix this right now. Limey, would you prefer, if everybody picked one name to call you, would you prefer to be called Trevor or Limey?
Can I pull a Frank and answer this one for you?
Sure.
Sure.
There was a day about a year and a half ago when Trev walked in and he asked all of us to call him Trev. And you looked him right in the face and you said, no, we're not going to do it. You're sticking us limey.
Trev.
So now you're back. Now you're getting soft and you're backing off that and you're giving him the option. Whereas a year ago, you told him right to his face. We were going to call him whatever you decided we were going to call him.
Tim, unlike you.
Ask Trevor.
Some people change. Unlike you, some people change.
Can I speak for Frank on this one?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead, Dad.
Step in.
Go ahead.
Frank.
I don't remember any of that.
Trevor. I don't either, but I don't doubt but I don't know. I don't remember it, but I don't I don't doubt it, Trevor, but I don't remember it.
I do.
But I don't doubt. Okay. It's been 2.5 years now, and the relationship is more solid, and we have a little more respect for each other than when we didn't know each other. We all now respect each other more, except for Tim. And then I think it's time to revisit this because one time it's Trev, and it's Trevor, and it's Limey. And what would you, as a person on the show, prefer to be called by everybody?
I would prefer to be called Limey. I love Limey? That nickname. Yep, I do.
Done.
Yep. Done.
All right, Done. Limey.
All right, thank you.
And when I get emails about you, none of the emails refer to you as anything except Limey, but that's because that's what I always call you. So when I get emails, they call you Limey.
I like it.
All right,
you.
Good. Done. Now,
right. Well, I sent Limey a sentence to read.
Oh, boy. All right.
About the caucus. I took
girlfriend
up on the challenge.
Do we get to go around the room and ask what we all want to be called from now on?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Let me give Tim his choices. Tim, would you prefer to be called Tim, Timothy, A-hole?
That's terrible. I shouldn't have laughed at that.
Tim, why would you ask that? Because is there something other than Tim you'd like to be called?
Yes.
What?
Bruiser.
Your Grace.
Your Grace.
Oh, my goodness.
Your Grace.
And I'll be me Lord.
My Lord, Your Grace.
Your Grace.
So I sent Limey a sentence.
Okay. And, okay, so now is this
But you have to read it with your accent
I
and
will,
everything.
I will.
Yeah.
But is this an autocorrect, or do you actually want me to say butt itches?
No, just say butt itches.
Okay,
yeah.
I got you.
Because we don't really know. It's Buttigieg, right? Is that his name?
Buttigieg.
Okay. Buttigieg.
Oh, Buttigieg.
Buttigieg.
I think it's Buttigieg.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get to the
But I like butt itches.
Yeah.
But I like that.
Yeah, we'll do butt itches.
Go ahead, read this sentence.
I was watching the caucus, and I can't understand why Butt Itches is still in the race.
Why is that supposed to be?
Well, it didn't really work.
Sorry,
didn't work. Did
well, it was like
you know
the
what? That was like the caucus. car horn game. I wanted to play. seemed like a good idea, but it
didn't work out.
Oh well.
Now, before we get to the Burke segment, and we will. And we'll get to a lot of other things. This day's going to fly by, folks. I'm just telling you it is, because we're going to have a lot of fun here today, and it's going to go quickly. And Dan Buffa comes in next hour. There's so many things I want to cover here. I discovered a show last night. My wife and I watched the first episode of a show that is now in its sixth season. We've never seen it. For whatever reason, I'd avoided it. We ended up watching six of their half-hour episodes last night. This could be the funniest thing that I have seen in 10 years. That's all I'm going to say to Dan Buck. No, we cannot wait now till tonight. And we'll go through all of the five seasons into the sixth season. We'll have it all done by the end of the weekend. This is the funniest thing I have seen in at least 10 years. It is absolutely hysterical.
How new is it?
Sixth season, I said.
No, how new is it? How long ago did it come out?
Just told you it's in its sixth season.
It's about five or 6 years ago.
It's been out about 5 years.
I didn't hear you say in the sixth season. I thought you said that it had six seasons.
No, they're in their sixth. We just started the first and watched six episodes. No, wait till Dan gets here.
All right.
And it's one that a couple of listeners over the years mentioned, but not a large number. I avoided it, I think, because of the name. I just thought it was too corny, and it couldn't possibly be as funny as the name. And that's all I'm going to say. Don't take any guesses. But man, this thing. And here's the test. The test that was passed. My wife last night, I watched her laughing out loud. She does not like most comedies. Wow. No, she just doesn't. And we both agree, this is a funny, we can't wait to watch the next one because we know we're going to laugh till our stomachs hurt. And that's all. Now, the other thing, one other thing I want to address here.
This yes or no, is it on regular TV?
So it's on Netflix.
On Netflix? All right, okay. Cool.
Don't guess. Rush Limbaugh. A couple of comments. I made a point to kind of flip around and just check various radio stations, news channels, just to see what was being said. And then there's some things that have been said that are just incredible to me, such as, well, that's karma. He's getting what he deserves. Another was that, well, maybe now, if he gets through this, he'll be different, and he'll realize that maybe poor people should have access to the same great doctors and treatments that he, as a rich man, has access to. And then, of course, there were some positive comments. We wish the best for him. Here's the thing, folks. Whether you like what he says or not, this guy is probably the most successful radio personality since the invention of radio. He's owned 600 radio stations. He's listened to by millions and millions of people. I'm not telling you you have to agree with him or like him, but I heard locally somebody say one of the stupidest things that I've ever heard anybody say. Now, this is a person in the business locally, just like I am, just like we are. And he said anybody could do what Rush does. It's just anybody could do it. He said it doesn't require any preparation. You don't have to think. That could not be further from the truth. You have to know and understand politics. You have to be able to have the facts to back up what you're saying. Now, your opinion may be completely different than somebody else's, but nothing could be further than the truth that anybody could do that. If anybody could do it, there'd be more than one giant political talk show host in the country. And then I decided, well, I'll use an example of a successful talk show host who's liberal. And I can't come up with one because no one has been able to come anywhere near reach the heights that Rush has on the other side. Name one. Name a hugely successful liberal, nationally syndicated satellite radio talk show host. You can't do it because nobody comes close. And I find that interesting because I think this country is pretty well split in half. Conservative, liberal, left, right, Republican, Democrat. Yet there have been people who took a run at it. Who's the former SNL writer, comedian who got kicked out for sexual harassment? Al Franken.
Oh, yeah.
Al Franken had a liberal talk show. It lasted about 16 minutes. Nobody's been able to do it. And that's very interesting to me that the liberal community has never really supported or listened to a radio talk show host. Now, I don't know if that means more conservatives tend to listen to the radio than liberals. I don't know what it means, but let's just say this. Let's try to do this, everybody. The only time you should say you're glad somebody got cancer is if it's somebody who really does deserve to die. Let's say Ted Bundy, Charles Manson, they got cancer. John Wayne Gacy got cancer. Maybe even a guy like Weinstein or the pedophile island guy.
Somebody really disgusting.
Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein. Yeah, I guess it's okay then to say, well, good riddance. But outside of that, just because you disagree with somebody, I don't think that's anywhere near reason to say, well, I'm glad he got cancer. And it just, I don't know. I don't get the world. I don't get why people are so hateful. I told you I went to that Super Bowl party and there was a guy there who was completely opposite of everything I think and feel and believe about what this country should do and where we should be headed. We had a tremendous time together because we just established right up front, when I can do that, let's have a cigar together. He gave me a cigar. I gave him a cigar. And we ate some chili and chips and watched the Super Bowl. We had a fantastic time. It was a pleasure to meet him, and I enjoyed being around him. And I don't know why we just can't do that instead of making, you know, he mentioned something to me about a bumper sticker or a decal he had on his car, and it was political. And he asked if I would consider at some point putting a sign in my yard that said vote for. I said, no, I'll never do that. I never have, and I never will. I said, and I'm sure not going to do it for you because I wouldn't vote for you, but I wouldn't do it for anybody. I wouldn't do it for somebody I would vote for, because we live in a world now that if you have a bumper sticker, whether it's I love Hillary or I love Trump or whatever, this is the world where that car, your car and you are now a target for some hothead on the other side. Why do that? Why just put a target on your back? You know what you do? Go vote. Just vote. That's it. That's all you have to do is just go vote. Let me do one bit of business, and then we'll get the Burke segment, and we'll take some calls. Folks, here are the phone numbers you're going to need now, and you're going to need them if you want to check in with Dan Buffa in the 4 o'clock hour.
And you got cut off a little bit right when you started talking about Rush. Some people have been calling in about it from the...
Well, how much got the app? How much got cut off?
EAS, from the emergency alert system that
cut in. Oh, you kidding me?
No. No, we didn't know it. It just popped on and just it's the
I don't know what they lost, but
right when you started about Rush, when you said,
oh, I'll just condense it. Rush Limbaugh has cancer. People know that. It's advanced cancer. Yeah. And all I said was that I read and watched as much as I could about people's comments, and some of them were extremely nasty and hateful.
Yeah.
Some were supportive. Nobody deserves for other people to root for them to have cancer and die, with the exception of, who's the most despicable person you can think of? Epstein, okay, child molester. Yeah. That's okay. So that's all. We can stop hating each other so much. I'm not going to repeat everything else I said. I'm going to do some business. Our numbers are 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. You'll need them now if you want to call, and you'll need them for Dan Buffa when he gets here next hour. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet now has, for the first time ever, a second location. But the second location is pre-owned only. It's in St. Peter's, and it's the Johnny Londoff Autoplex. They just opened very recently and are already selling cars to AM and the PM customers.
And if you go to our Facebook page, you will see the very first purchaser of the at Johnny Londoff Autoplex in St. Peter's is a person AM and the PM.
So
and
the first vehicle they sold went to one of our listeners.
Yes. Yeah. And there's a picture of him on the on our Facebook page.
And now that opens an opportunity for a sidebar here. Let me just step aside and say this. To any advertiser listening, any business owner listening, I will never understand why you don't at least look into the possibility of advertising on this show. Look what Dan just said. They opened the Autoplex, first sale, one of our listeners. Over the weekend, multiple sales to AM and the PM people. Over the years, and John says the number is in the thousands of vehicles sold to AM and the PM listeners. Now, if you're a business owner, an advertiser, and your response to that is, well, I don't sell cars. Everybody needs cars. Well, what do you sell? Somebody needs it or you wouldn't be selling it. Not everybody needs new windows from Window World, but at some point they will. And I'm well aware of the fact that every time I mention them, most people listening, the great majority of people, need windows right now. What I'm hoping is that when they do, that's who they'll call. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet now has a second place where you can buy a dependable, reliable, pre-owned vehicle. And that place is St. Peter's. And all the information, you can certainly get to it through their main website, Londoff.com. And everything you need is there. And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that the first customer or customers if you couple with AM and the PM. So thank you, everybody, for 16 years, I think, of supporting us, supporting Johnny Londoff, and congratulations to Londoff. It's a gutsy move to step out for the first time ever since even when his dad started the business, even before they established their location now in Florissant in 1960. Prior to that, they never had another extension of Johnny Londoff. And my prediction is it's going to be very, very successful. And they're going to do real well, and thanks in part to you folks. So thank you for that. If you are interested in a new Chevy or anything pre-owned, and the reason I say anything is if they don't have it, they'll bust their butts to find it for you. You tell them what you're looking for, and they'll go to work, and they'll do their best to find it. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, you know where they are. The Autoplex is in St. Peter's, and the mothership is up in North County, Washington, Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270, 24/7 at Londoff.com. And now the Burke segment, does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Like to turn it over now to Limey Phillips. Limey, it's all yours. You're welcome.
Oh, well, thank you very much, sir. So, you know how yesterday we were talking about people making fun of Trump for saying the Kansas State Chiefs? And right. I mentioned that on my Facebook page I had posted the tweet and was kind of making light of the situation, having fun of it. Well, one of our listeners, Ben is his name, and apparently you might know him. It's Ben from Springfield, Missouri.
I don't know him, but I'm glad he's listening.
Well, yeah, he's been a long-time listener for a long time. So yesterday he commented on there, on the picture, said, "So, you've never made a mistake? Come on, man." And I could sense that there was a, you know, maybe a tiny bit of spice there, you know, maybe he'd had enough of people kind of dogging on Trump and all that. So I replied politely, "I've made mistakes all the time. When I do, people make fun of me or the situation. If it's funny, I will laugh at it." And you know what? He came back and he just said, "That's actually well said." And this part really made me crack up. He said, "I might need some butthurt salve."
Well, and that, I thought that in our salve, country, yeah. It's called salve.
Salve, yeah.
Salve? Is that what it salve. Is? Because I was looking at it, I'm like, what is that?
Salve. I realize that it looks like salve when you spell it, but in this country, salve. We say salve, just like we salve. Say
it's like a lotion,
well,
yeah.
Basically, what it was I thought that was just a pretty hilarious exchange there. It was obviously somebody who was a bit annoyed with people dogging on the president. And instead of getting into a an argument or a fight on social media, which you see all the time, we both just kind of explained the situation. And I asked him if I could talk about this on the Burke segment today. He said yes.
That's the way it should work.
Yeah. You know, so Ben, thank you for commenting. You're a good listener. And yeah, there you go.
When I get an email from a listener and it starts off, "Hey, D-head or a-hole,
right.
You blank, blank," I just delete. I delete it. But if I get one from a listener and said, "I've been listening a long, long time, and you said something that upset me, and I don't think you should have said it," then I got my attention, and I'm reading it. And if it's done right, I'll write them back, and I'll say, "You know what? I think you may be right here, and I apologize," or I'll tell them why I disagree, and everybody's okay.
Right.
Nobody's mad, and you don't get mad about everything. So good for you, Ben. Thank you. Thank
way
you
to
you
go, Ben.
I don't you do bet. Anything anymore on social media. I have friends on Facebook that are on both sides of the aisle.
Right.
And they sometimes, and especially lately, people are starting to get political on Facebook, which that's not what Facebook is for, but they try to force their
opinion,
point of view, their opinion down everyone's throat, and basically say this side is wrong, that side's wrong, and here's why you're all idiots, and I just go past it.
I have noticed more and more on social media that nowadays, just say, for example, you know, Dan posts on Facebook, "Man, I really like the summer." Instead of just people going like, "Oh, cool, I'm more of a winter person myself," now I would just jump on there and be like, "You know what? You're an idiot. The summer sucks. Your opinion is stupid. And this is why."
Some people
just
do that.
They do, though.
Everybody's
opinion. Nobody seems to be allowed to it anymore. Because if you voice it, you're either going to have people just that hate you for it and not let you respect it, or they're just going to think you're stupid.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Well said, Limey.
Thank you. That's all I got, though.
I have something.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, back off the sick bed and apparently fully recovered.
Yes.
Dan Strauss.
Thank you so much, Frank.
You're welcome.
Today was, we thought, was going to be the last visit to Brinton Vision, but we have one more visit next week. Sandy got her one of the eyes is locked in. So one of her eyes is completely
that
locked in.
But it sounds maybe to no. some people who don't know what we're talking about, like a bad no. thing, like it's frozen. No, locked in yeah. means perfect vision. Boom, locked yeah. in permanently.
Locked in, and we're waiting until next week to lock the last one in. But I did take a picture of Leah and Seth at the front in the waterfall right there at Brinton Vision. So if you want to go on our Facebook page and look and see, because everyone talks about Seth and how great Seth is, and he is. He's tremendous. But Leah is equally as great, and those are the two people that you will meet when you go in there. And I put a picture of them on our Facebook page.
Did you ever have an easier experience as a new patient signing in?
No.
No, because usually cool. if you're a new patient, they give you like 8 pages to fill out. Have you ever had that? The way they do it, it's with an iPad or something. And it's just so easy.
It's really simple. Cool.
Yeah. I can't wait for the final update. Anything else?
No, that's it.
One is only one other person who could contribute. Will he or won't he? Only his hairdresser knows for sure. Does anybody remember those commercials?
Yes.
Anybody remember what that was?
Yes.
No, I haven't got a clue. What was that?
Hairdresser knows for
sure. The commercial says, does she or doesn't she? Only her hairdresser knows for sure. And I'm pretty sure it was Breck. It was a woman's hair coloring product.
Was it Breck hair coloring or was it shampoo?
No, it was just hair coloring.
Oh.
In other words, does she or doesn't she? Does she color her hair or doesn't she? Only her hairdresser knows for sure. And believe it or not, all those years ago, that was considered controversial. And there was some backlash from it because of the line. Yeah, because of the line, does she or doesn't she?
Oh, I get it.
Wow, were we stupid back then and overly sensitive to everything. So, Tim Woodburn, do you have anything?
Yes, sir.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to say it twice, but I will. Tim Woodburn.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
I'm going to tell you my favorite story of the day, and I learned something new today from a legal perspective that I didn't realize this was a crime until today, and I read this story on the New York Post. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a Cliff Notes version of this story that's on their website today, and I want you to guess what the first question was I had in my mind after I got done reading this story, okay?
Okay.
Do a real quick one. A 38-year-old woman from Britain, of course.
Of course.
was criminally convicted after a man that she met at a bar in an airport gave her drink after drink after drink after drink after drink, and this woman became extremely intoxicated. She boarded the plane with her 7-year-old daughter sitting next to her. This guy that bought her all these drinks, and apparently it was 70 cl bottles of vodka.
Oh.
Which apparently is a little smaller than a fifth of a gallon of vodka that you saw in the States. So he was buying her these bottles, and she was pounding them.
Bottles?
I guess they were sitting there for a while. Well, this gal got so drunk that she abandoned her 7-year-old daughter on the plane, went and sat next to this guy, several rows behind him, who was sitting next to his 11-year-old son, and was loudly offering to perform a sex act on him in front of all the other passengers on the plane.
Typical.
No.
Oh, come on, people. Why are you applauding that?
No. Here's what I learned, and then I want you to guess what question was the first question in my mind at the end of this story. This woman is extremely apologetic. She was convicted of entering an airplane while drunk.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a crime because half the people
over there.
Half the people I've seen enter a plane are drunk.
They do it a lot of times because they're afraid to fly.
I think a little tipsy is okay, but when you're staggeringly drunk, because the higher you get, the oxygen, something like that, makes you even more drunk.
Well, she even put a blanket over her head and tried to, like, take a little nap on this guy's lap, yep. If you know what I mean.
That's representing a lap nap.
She was a lap nap, yeah. She pleaded guilty to sexual assault and entering an aircraft when drunk.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on. Sexual assault.
Mm-hmm. Was he assaulted?
I guess.
What did the guy when she's taking the nap on his lap with a blanket over? Well, was he saying
stop that right now?
Yeah, he was telling her no.
Oh, really?
He was telling her no.
Well,
his
gay.
11-year-old son. His 11-year-old son. 11-year-old son was sitting in the seat right next to him.
Oh, okay. So,
and this woman didn't care.
Like,
did the 11-year-old boy go,
can I be next?
Well, she claimed that medicine and alcohol combined it caused her to blackout. She said she was on diazepam and codeine and so forth and so on. So she pleaded guilty to sexual assault and entering an aircraft when drunk, which I didn't realize was a crime. She was sentenced to 6 months jail, which is suspended for a year, which means she stays out of trouble. And she has curfew and rehab conditions. And the courts have given her, apparently they temporarily took custody of her daughter away, and they've given her daughter back. Now, after I read that story, I want you all to guess, what's the first question I had on my mind after I read that story?
I'd like to go first.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Was she good looking?
Nope.
That'd be my question. That's the question. Was she good looking?
Well, there's a photo of her in the story on the New York Post, and she's not bad. She's a blonde. She's a coug, skinny, and not bad looking, but that was not the first question. Limey, you want to take a guess at my first question?
I'm going to guess your first question is, what the heck is 70 centiliters?
No, that was not my first question.
All right.
Dan, you want to guess what my first question was?
Can I sit next to her the next time on a plane?
No. My first question after I read that story was, what brand of vodka was that guy buying?
Oh.
Because I want to get my hands on some of that.
Grey Goose?
That's never happened to me, where I buy a girl vodka and she wants...
One of my reactions to that story is that she didn't have to drink all that. You know, these people that act like somebody else caused them to drink so much, or, well, he kept buying. You didn't have to drink it.
Right.
And I'm tired of people not taking a personal responsibility. I know you're not finished, but you actually hit on a story that's very similar to something I wanted to mention today. There's a woman who's suing, and I don't remember the university. I thought I had the story in front of me, but I don't. But basically, she's suing the university that has a frat house. Her son, who's on the lacrosse team, he's not a member of the fraternity, but he was invited to a frat house party. Now, this frat house had already been given a cease and desist by the university to no longer hold parties. They had a bad reputation. You can't hold parties or events anymore.
Right.
Essentially saying you're not going to have a bunch of drinking. But it's a frat house. They had a party anyway, and they invited select people who weren't in the fraternity, and he was one of them. He's a freshman, which means he's probably 19, maybe 20. And the article said he was underage for drinking. So this kid goes to the party and drinks so much that when he walked away from the frat house, he had no idea where he was, and he stepped in front of a train, and it ran over him and killed him. Now, his mom is suing the university. My take on it is this. That kid was old enough to know that he shouldn't drink that much. He chose to keep drinking. I'm also tired of people wanting to sue everybody for everything. He drank. And nowhere did it say they held him down and forced it down his throat. He just drank too much. Is the university responsible, and should they give this woman millions of dollars because her son used bad judgment? My answer is no.
No, I don't think the university should be responsible for that.
Now, this woman in Tim's story's case, she's not suing anybody, right?
No.
Okay, so not exactly the same, but whatever happened to her, whatever she got, a year probation, it's on her. It's not on him. It's on her. She's the one that chose to drink too much, and then by doing that, she ended up doing other stuff she shouldn't have done. All she'd had to do is go, I've had enough. Thank you. That's enough. Two drink, or no, thank you. I don't want to drink at all. But nobody seems to, that never seems to factor in any of these things, that you have the right to not drink.
And this is simple. This is also, I believe, the first adult version of a story. I know this has happened when you hear these stories about female teachers
talking about
having
porn?
Sex with kids. No. This is the first story I think I've ever read in my life in which the journalist writes, the male passenger is not being identified because he's the victim of a sex crime.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
Wow. That's interesting.
I've seen that happen with, you know, teachers having sex with kids before. You know, they don't identify the kid. But this, I think this is the first time I've seen it flip-flop to where they don't identify
Well,
the
I'm going
to
tell you this. He better be glad, because I don't want to be the guy whose name is out there in a story where a woman says, hey, let me give you a BJ, and I go, no! No, I don't want that out there that I turned it down and asked her, please don't do that. Good for him.
I sort of left one small detail out of the story as well, which might have given you guys a better guess at what my question was. After he bought her the drinks of vodka when they were together at the terminal bar, he went over to the duty-free store and he got a bottle of whatever it was that they were drinking together. And once she got on the plane, she went back to him and asked him to open up the bottle. That's why I said my question was, what brand of vodka does this guy buy?
I've never heard of a centiliter before. Never heard of that.
Yeah, it's the English measurement.
But you hear
it's the European measurement.
So it's obvious, if he kept buying her drinks, was she asking for the drinks or was he just trying to get her trashed?
Both.
Probably a little both.
A little both.
Got that, Dan.
I know.
Dan, you said you were feeling better. And then you said you're feeling better, then you cut one.
I am. Well, it makes me feel better.
Tim, was there any more?
No, that was my vodka sexual assault story for the day. Thank you.
Nice. Okay.
I think if they're going once, going twice, three, Burke segment's officially closed. I tell you what I did this morning, because since I went to that Super Bowl party, I didn't get a chance to... I didn't get a chance to see the halftime show, and I missed some of the commercials, so I had recorded it. So this morning, I went back and I watched the halftime show. Is all I can say.
Really?
It seems to me that these shows have now become predominantly 30 or 50 dancers dancing. You know, that's the show. And then somewhere in the middle of that is the star, but it's a bunch of dancers and smoke and fire. And I do sort of agree with some of the things that I've been reading in the last couple of days from people who say, you know, on one hand, these powerful women who are influential, and Me Too, and then they come out and do something that is obviously screaming for sexual attention. Mike Evans was right. I didn't know what he meant when he said that little strip of material over Jennifer Lopez's Virginia was like maybe an inch wide. If that thing had shifted left to right, I don't know how it stayed in place. It wasn't necessary.
Double-sided sticky tape. That's how they do it.
Double-sided sticky tape.
That's what
really,
they use.
Really sticky.
It was probably sewn on. It was sewn on.
You know what's more arousing to me than that show? That show to me was about choreography and a bunch of dancers and women wanting you to look at their bodies. And okay, fine, I love looking at women's bodies, but I would be much more aroused in a scene in a movie where Jennifer Aniston was leaning forward at a desk and her cleavage was coming out. That would blow me. That to me, you know, it's sort of the not as blatant, but use your imagination. What gets me going.
Something funny. I talked about the Dan and Shay country guys that sang in the pregame show yesterday, which, hey, I'm not a country music fan, but that was a terrific song that they played. That guy can really belt it out. There was another performer during the pregame show, and this is the first time I've ever seen this. It was Pitbull, who's a who's a Miami-based, sort of a, I don't even know what to call him, Limey. Is he a rapper? Is he a, musical artist? Pitbull.
Yeah, we don't know. Is he, he's kind of a...
He's sort of his own...
It's not a rapper.
Yeah.
It's just
he's
kind
a
of,
pop rapper.
Okay, a pop rapper.
A pop rapper.
Well, whatever the name of his song was, all of the there was about 12 women that were dancing with him on stage. Now, the dancers in the J-Lo Shakira show all had knockout bodies. I mean, they all were. They all were nines and tens.
We salute you.
They weren't Lizzo's.
No. Well,
Lizzo's.
Well, they weren't.
You're right. But having said that, though, you're on the right track where I'm going here, Frank. The dancers in the Pitbull, and there, it had something to do with the lyrics that he was talking about. The dancers in the Pitbull song were all beautiful women in the face, but they all had big booties.
What's wrong with that?
And nothing's wrong with
that. Okay, cool.
I had just never seen that.
Right on.
I had never seen, and he kind of referenced them in the lyrics of his song. And these girls could really, really dance, but they had they had some major league cabooses.
Some badonkadonks.
All of them. All of them.
All right, Ralph, let's go around the room. Who's a fan of big, big butts?
Me.
I'll start. Not me.
President.
Limey?
Me. I am.
You
Dan?
Are? I'm not a fan of great big butts. No.
Well, can you define big before I answer that?
Well,
big so that it bubbles out, and proportionately it's way out of whack with the rest of the body. It's obviously a really big bubble butt.
Are we talking like, you know, Renee Zellweger's butt, and that is like on the small end, and then
we're talking Beyonce, Rihanna, J-Lo, big.
What's the girl's name that was on?
You ever seen Coco, Ice-T's wife?
She's a
damn, she's fine. Ooh, she got some
Coke. Man, I can't think of her name. She was on.
Google
her. She was one of the judges on The Voice, I think.
I like them in all sizes.
But she has a huge butt. It's, oh my goodness.
Kelly Clarkson?
Here's my in order, my favorite body parts
okay.
of a woman. No, this is in order the things that I look at first and are the most important to me. Number one is face.
Oh, okay? Well, isn't that just sweet?
No. If you have an ugly face, I don't care what the rest of you looks like. I don't want to wake up and look over, and be scared to death every morning. Number two, boobs. Okay.
Yeah.
Good, close together cleavage. Not this, where they wear now all these split open dresses and there's 9-10 inches of breastbone and no cleavage, just two little melons too far apart. Not that. I mean good cleavage boobage. Three, legs. Beautiful dancer legs. Right. Those are my face, boobs, legs. All right. Anybody
Nicki
else?
Nicki Minaj was the one I was trying to think of. She has a massive
It's fake,
butt.
But it's great.
It's a fake butt?
Yeah, man. She's had butt implants. You can see it when she dances.
I had a date one time with this girl. Mm-hmm. She wasn't the prettiest girl in the world. And I said to her,
hold on a minute. That means she was unattractive. She was kind of ugly. Well, when you say not the prettiest girl in the world, on a 1 to 10, she's like a 4.
Right. She wasn't the prettiest girl in the world. And I said, do you have bad acne or why do you have all those marks on your face?
She said, said that to her?
Yeah. And she said,
asked her that?
Yeah. And she says, because people keep hitting me with 10-foot poles.
Oh.
Where's my line shot?
Wow.
Oh. I had to wait
It took
for the
me
rim
a second.
Shot.
Wouldn't touch her with
See,
a 10-foot
See, we actually
pole.
Thought...
Oh,
we kind of knew... We sort of knew it took a turn toward being not true when you said you asked her what happened to her face. I don't think that you would have done that.
Oh, man. Hey, there's a Jim is on the phone and wants to make a comment.
Did you put his name
up? No,
I
didn't put his name up. I can't get my screen up here.
You get it? People wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, I get it.
That's
what I got, yeah.
We got it, and here's the bad news. We got it, and we still didn't last.
Well, because you kept interrupting me. If I could have said it right through, it would have been funnier.
Oh, my goodness. Just suck it up. It didn't work. We've all been
Kim
there.
Kardashian
Let's go.
Great
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, no, great. Boy.
Too big. Too big.
No, perfect.
Jim, welcome to the segment we call Favorite Women Body Parts on
big
590
butts.
The Fan. How you doing, Jim?
fine, thank you. And I'm AM and PM.
Thank you very much. I have about 1 minute, maybe one and a half. It's yours. Go.
I only have one little comment. You was listening. You were talking about J-Lo and how she was holding her wardrobe on.
Right.
She had it in a lip lock.
I get it. I get it.
That was well done.
I knew you would, and the rest of the pack went off.
Lip lock. Well, you know us well. Thank you, Jim.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a good day, all of you.
I think most
looks like
everybody.
One of those rap guys' girlfriends.
What the heck?
That, you know, who understands those rap guys?
Well, what the heck?
They
is
only
that?
Talk to her because
who is that?
The Big Butt song.
Yeah.
Big. Okay.
We don't have time for that. I have to do some business. We don't have time for that. No, I have to do some business. If I don't do this, we're out of business. First Community Credit Union. First Community Credit. I don't even know how many years. I'm going to guess 9, 8. I don't know. I just know this. I know that they once again said that we'd like to stay on board and sponsor the yard sale for the entire year of 2020. And that they will continue to be a part of supporting the show Monday through Thursday in 2020. Why would they do that? Here's why they do it. Because you, who are listening, have made a point to let them know your AM and the PM. See, the way this works, if an advertiser can't tell where their business is coming from, they, in time, will eliminate the platforms where they just can't tell whether or not they're getting any response. And if they couldn't tell they're getting any response from this show, they'd have been gone a long time ago. But they do know where the business is coming from when it comes from you, because you tell them, you listen, you thank them for the yard sale, you say I'm AM in the PM, or you say 590 the Fan. That's how it works. Here's why you should consider talking to them, or at least looking into First Community Credit Union, because it's a great place to bank. And don't be confused about the credit union thing. It is a full-service banking facility. Anything that you do, no, there's that song, anything you can do, I can do better, I can.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. A lot of people don't know this, but before I was in the mortgage industry, I actually was a real estate agent. The home buying season was really the last day of school till the first day of the next year. I mean it when I say it. If you're even considering buying a house, there's nothing more important than getting pre-approved, and pre-approved by a strong mortgage lender. Get pre-approved today with our 5-minute loan approval at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.